Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Tony Life is Wildlife Division Director from the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. Kelly Hepler is Secretary of South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. They're joining us today, both of them from Pier. Secretary Hepler, welcome to In the Moment.
Lori, it's nice to be on the show again. Thank you.
Tony Life, welcome as well.
Good afternoon, Lori. Glad to be here.
So what we're talking about today is recreational use of flooded lands, property rights, access points, South Dakota State Supreme Court ruling, all this stuff coming to a head this week, but yet it's more than 20-year-old conversation. Secretary Hepler, what do we need to understand about the history of this situation to really have the conversation we need to have today? Take me back in time a little bit.
Thank you, Lori. And I'll start, and Tony, you can certainly correct me if I miss something here. But for the listeners, it's a complex issue. And to go back, I think we start back even in the 1800s, Lori, when we had surveyors out right at statehood time, and they were out and they had instructions. They went out and they surveyed bodies of water. The surveyors considered anything over 40 acres in size permanent. And everything within those meander lines or boundary then belonged to the state, became state property. Then conversely, everything who didn't fit that criteria under 40 acres then was not considered state property, and in the end it could be privately held or could actually be held by the state of South Dakota. There was a combination. So then we skip to about the mid-90s, 93, maybe 95, we had a lot of rains occur, and so some of these areas which were non-meandered then, you may actually had crops going on or maybe had cattails in front of your house, the water started rising. And so it could be as deep as maybe 25 to 30 feet over what we considered non-meandering waters with private land and underneath it, including state land underneath it. So then that begs a question then when you have legal access onto these waters, then who gets to decide who gets on the waters or not? And that's led to a couple of court cases. And the most recent one, it was the Dury versus Hepler, came out on March 15th. And I just want to go real quickly. There's about 3 points I think the listeners should know. The first thing what the Supreme Court did is they told everybody is that all the water in the state of South Dakota is held in public trust for the benefit of the public. The concern, though, and the thing we do not have, though, is up to this point, in either in our constitution or in statute, we have not defined whether or not recreational use, which includes hunting and fishing, is one of those beneficial uses. And so the Supreme Court said the only people that can make that determination, it's not GF&P, it's not in some state organization, really has to be the legislature. So that's one point. The second point what the Supreme Court said is that in the absence of that action, nobody has a superior right over the waters, which is important because that's a way to maybe in layman's terms say we're leveling the playing field. And then the third piece, which is raising a lot of attention, Lori, is that there's a piece in the end of this that talks about GF&P and the defendants cannot facilitate access onto waters which overlie private land. And because of that, we've taken that, I think in a broad sense, because we think that's how it needs to be applied. This is where we've been getting the discussions. It's facilitation means is that if we have public boat launches that are on the waters that lead on over to private land, we've made a decision to have those waters in. We're going to restrict access. We're going to put a cable across. And we've done things like we're not going to stock those waters. We're going to be sure in a fishing report, for example, we don't attract people to those waters. Those are all definitions of facilitation. So that really leads us to the point, I think, where we are now. And I don't know, Tony, if there's something there I missed or not.
Tony, you want to add anything to that?
Kelly really covered it well. Mm-hmm. Those are the main points we're in the Supreme Court ruling, and our goal is to abide with that ruling completely.
So tell me what that looks like, Tony. Secretary Hepler mentioned cables or not stocking. Let's dig deeper into that and say what sort of changes are being made right now this spring. What kind of work is being done?
Okay. The important point, again, that Secretary Hepler made was that when looking at the Supreme Court decision, the portion of that refers to us facilitating access to these waters over private lands, that's something that we should not be doing. Now, the ruling was specific when it got to the point of facilitating access to the waters over the plaintiff's property, but the Supreme Court made a couple really broad statements in their decision that really direct us to apply this, the provisions of their decision, not just to the plaintiff's property and the water over that property, but to all these non-meandered waters. And I'll read a couple of those to you. First, on page 17, the Supreme Court stated that the legislature has not declared that the public's right to use waters of the state includes the right to use waters for recreational purposes. And then they make a similar statement towards the end of the briefing. Therefore, we're looking at those sites where we have facilities in place that facilitate access to these waters across the state. And those are the steps we're taking to ensure that those access facilities we have in place are not going to be operated in contrary to what the decision that the Supreme Court made.
So what is the impact on hunters, fishers, boaters, and when we start seeing that impact immediately?
Lori, this is Kelly again. It's going to happen, I think, probably about a week. What the plan is, we have 24 bodies of water right now, which are non-meandering waters, which includes water over private land. And we have public boat launches in those. And we also have some, within that, we have some private land, which we've leased and to provide access for the public in, down to these waters. We're also, all these, we're going to put a cable across. And we're going to have a sign, that it describes, why we're doing that. And so that'll happen within about a week. We've ordered the signs. We've ordered the cables. We have to post up. So that's going to happen very quickly. The decisions not to plant some of the fish in there, that's happening right now. We're modifying, how we give information out to the public. All those things are in transit. But I think the most immediate thing, and probably the ones that most people are most concerned about, are you truly going to restrict access across those sites? And within a week, that's going to happen.
All right, so let's talk about the fish and the ecosystem and fishing season and how this impacts the health of the lake. Tony, do we have a sense of what the impact of that is?
For the most part, these lakes grew up and are very productive systems that in many cases can self-sustain themselves. But we also do manage those, actively manage some of those waters in the form of stocking some fish. And I was visiting with staff this morning about this specific situation. And the goal in many cases is to ensure that there are multiple year classes of some of those fisheries that are out there. So the fisheries themselves will not collapse without having some of this more active management that Secretary Heffler referenced. But there will be some changes in those plans that will ultimately change where some of those fish are stocked this year and where they'll be stocked into the future.
So what has the response been? Well, before I ask you that, let me ask about the economic impact. Does that change, who purchases licenses this year? Do we expect to see residual impact such as that, Secretary Heffler?
I think in the end it potentially could, Lori. I think in so many small communities, too, you start closing on, I shouldn't use the word close. That's my bad. I should be saying restricting access in these areas. But people are literally going to take them as close. And, it'll have an impact in these small communities. We know that. And I have empathy for that, and I know that the legislature is motivated, and I have belief that they're going to come and deal with this in a responsible manner. But in the interim period, it will have an impact. Now, it may make a difference for somebody sitting over in Minnesota or even some in Northeast, saying, I fish these waters all the time, and I need that public boat launch to access these lakes, and I may not purchase a license right now. That could potentially have an impact.
What if I go around it and do it anyway? Are there consequences? Is there going to be enforcement of that cable placement?
And that's a fair question. And what we said, we have to be very careful because we can't facilitate access. And so what I can say is that, we're not going to say somebody can do that and they cannot do that. What we can say for sure, Lori, is that when an angler goes and has bolt cutters and actually cuts the cable or cuts that chain, then that's the direction of state property. We will definitely enforce that. Now, if somebody makes a decision on their own after reading the ruling, hopefully they will, it's on our website, and make a decision, I still want to go fishing, then they're gonna do that on their own, because we're not going to tell them you can do that or you can't do that.
All right, if you have questions about this, you can text me right now, and I will ask Tony Life and Secretary Heffler your question. 956-SDPB is the text you can send right now, 956-SDPB. And meanwhile, as we sort of open up that sort of feedback, I'm wondering, what sort of feedback have you had so far, and from whom? What are people saying about this?
Tony, do you want to give that a shot?
Sure. Lori, we've had calls, emails, personal contacts, a variety. We have a lot of them coming into Pier here, and we have a lot of them coming into our field office, and particularly up in the northeastern corner of the state. As you might suspect, there's a great deal of frustration with this. Some of that frustration is directed at us because we are, you know, having to make some difficult decisions associated with this. But I would say equal as many of the people that are calling and discussing this with us understand our position. They understand the importance of abiding by a decision of our ultimate court in this state and understand the difficult position that we're in.
Secretary Hepler, were you able to get sort of a legal counsel on this as you made your decisions about how you would handle it in your department?
Lori, we talked to the AG's office, and we certainly talked to the governor's office, and you know, and so yeah, this isn't something we're doing on our own necessarily. But I think the decision how we broaden this out to deal with the other lakes besides those two on the plaintiffs, you know, that's we have some course to do that. I think Tony referenced in the actual ruling, but that's something that we think, for its implications, that was driven as much by the department as anybody else. But that's absolutely the right thing to do and responsible thing to do. But you know, Lori, you know, somewhere in this discussion, though, I mean, we know we need to get this thing resolved, and we've gotten a lot of people saying, "Well, how is that going to happen?" And you know, I know the Attorney General Jackley offered his services earlier this month with the letter he sent to the legislature. We're offering our services to the legislature in any way we can to help resolve this, and I have complete faith that we're actually, in fact, going to do that. And what we're hoping is that, you know, once some of the emotion runs out of this issue, that people will be moderate and they'll be willing to come to the table and talk about compromise and what's that mean. But I have complete faith in the state of South Dakota that we will move forward and successfully answer these problems.
All right. One of the questions that came in via text, and you can still send those for another minute or two at 956-SDPB. I'll just read this question verbatim. And the question is, does this open the door for pay to fish as another revenue for landowners? And would they have to be licensed to fish the private owned waters? So let's talk about pay to fish and whether this whole conversation is opening a door to that area.
Laura, this is Kelly, and Tony, you can take a shot at this too, but I think it is, and to some degree, and we've heard that. We were just in Watertown yesterday, and we were there a couple of days last week, and that's coming up. People are asking that question. But I think that would be only one of the things on the table. I think there's probably multiple ways, and you know, in ways you could fix this that the legislature needs to work their way through. But that is being suggested, and you know, there's some pros and cons of that type of a thing. But at this particular time, we're looking for good ideas, you know, that we can help facilitate that discussion. And, you know, I'd say nothing's off the table except, you know, extremes, answers in both of this, I think, are problematic. I think we need to go somewhere in the middle and try to find that compromise.
So this has been a long ongoing conversation. And now do you suspect the time is right for some of those well-informed conversations to deal with this going forward? Or is this something that just continues to be part of our state narrative forever?
I think we're at that point, Lori, and I have complete faith that we're going to solve this, but I think we're at that point. You know, I'm certainly hearing, you know, the legislature with interest, and they'll make that decision on their own what they want to do. There's certainly interest out of the executive branch to get this solved for the state of South Dakota. I think there's certainly interest, you know, in those private landowners and those anglers out there. I mean, this frustration such, you know, we need to move beyond this. We're a bigger state than this. Let's get this done and let's move forward.
All right. Secretary Kelly Hepler with South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks, I want to say thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am.
And Tony Life is Wildlife Division Director for South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. Tony, thanks for being here as well.
Well, thank you, too, Lori. Appreciate the opportunity to visit with you a little bit.